Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I know Russ personally. I mean, he is so good about everything that we try to do. And you know, first at the film room, paying attention, asking good questions, speaking up in the locker room when he needs to. So he's been a great leader, a great teammate. And that's all you can ask. And I know this is killing him not to be here. But, you know, it's, again, an old obstacle that he has to overcome, and there's nobody better equipped to overcome it than him.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was the voice of Mike D'Antoni talking about Russell Westbrook, who tested positive for the coronavirus. Tom Thayer is in for Mully today, and we were planning to go down to the Orlando bubble, but we're having a hard time reaching our reporter ensconced inside the bubble. Maybe there's some phone issues inside the bubble. We'll find that out. But Tom, nonetheless, the NBA is going to try to get it done. They are going down to Orlando in a state where there are record numbers for the positive tests of COVID-19. And they're descending upon Disney World, which reopened its gates over the weekend. And I don't know about you, but when I saw how many families had flocked to go to Disney World, and I saw the footage and the videos of the NBA players going to the same municipality, I wondered about the wisdom of the entire operation. And I wonder how if the NBA has any misgivings or second thoughts about what's going on down there when they're trying to stage and resume a season in the midst of everything else going on in the state of Florida, in the city of Orlando, on the campus of Disney World.
Well, they got to be naive if they don't think there can be an effect if they go outside the bubble and start mingling with the general public. Because what does it take? Touching the same handrail as somebody else, or just being in the vicinity of people? When you go on, if you do go on these rides and stuff, and you get the screaming of the people riding the same ride, whether it's a car or two cars in front of you, is that going to create cross-contamination? So it seemed like you got to encourage these guys to put themselves in the safest environments possible if they realistically want to try to pull any of these sports off.
And the safety concerns are the biggest priority. Everybody understands and accepts that. So these players going into this bubble have to, I would think, understand that they are there for that purpose, that they are there because that is the safest solution or the method that Adam Silver, a commissioner who they trust and who is as good of a commissioner as there is in professional sports, this is the plan they came up with. And yet, Tom, I wonder what your perception has been as a former professional athlete, as a guy who you described earlier came from a working class background and appreciated everything that he earned as a player with the Chicago Bears in the National Football League. What did you think about seeing some of these social media posts about the accommodations not being up to standard from Rajon Rondo or Joel Embiid, or guys who are complaining about the food there or the hotel there or this or that just sounded like it was a bad look, and it was really kind of bad form under the circumstances.
Under the circumstances, yes, David. But you go through generations and years of training camps of all these professional teams, from sleeping in the dorms at the University of Wisconsin Platteville, or before they went to Platteville, sleeping at the dorms in Lake Forest. So the existence has never been plush around an NFL team. Yeah, it may be different around the other sports, but that was kind of like your badge of honor, your badge of courage. You persevered through some of the worst and harshest of circumstances. What's the difference of sleeping in a dorm room or running 100-yard sprints in 105-degree temperature after two full pad practices? So I think that's some of the development of the camaraderie, of the strength of a team, is trying to live through some of these obstacles that you go through during the course of preparation.
Do you rank professional athletes in terms of, if you look around professional different leagues and professional athletes in these different leagues, who's the most pampered, who's the least pampered?
Well, to me, when you look at some of the airplanes that the professional basketball teams get to travel in, the hotels they stay in, their per diem they receive, the guaranteed contracts from the union, boy, I think that's a pretty luxurious existence that they get to live in throughout the season. And they're housing a lot less people, a lot less staffs and surrounding support. When you look at a football team and they're traveling with 180-plus people, it's not as easy to put everything in place. But I never felt insecure. I never felt unsafe. I never had a better desire for the food or the offerings that was given to us. I felt super appreciative to be a professional athlete, and no matter what they were giving us, I was content and happy with it.
So Russell Westbrook, as we heard Mike D'Antoni talk about, he tested positive. He's the biggest name so far to have a positive test in the NBA. He tweeted Monday, though, that before they were scheduled to travel to Disney World, that the test occurred, and he's planning to join his teammates in Orlando. Quote, currently feeling well, quarantined, and looking forward to rejoining my teammates when I am cleared. Please take this virus seriously. Be safe. Mask up. Hashtag why not. So I think that is a good sign for the NBA, because you want your tournament, you want your season, what's left of it, and then the postseason, the playoffs, to be as whole as possible to preserve the integrity of what you're trying to do here. And Russell Westbrook means a lot to the Rockets, means a lot to the Western Conference race. So having a healthy Russell Westbrook means that they will be able to hopefully do this and pull this off, Tom. And when you look at, we talked about earlier in the show, the MLB issues, the hiccups along the way, if you will, the challenge for NHL testing and the possibility, I think, when you talk about they have 43 NHL players have tested positive so far. Where's your confidence level that the NBA is going to be able to pull this one off?
I am confident, but I think the message that Russell Westbrook is typing at the end of his message is, hey, hashtag mask up, because I think that's a message that needs to go to all of society. If we sit here and we talk about sports and naively only think of the players that are going to try to participate in the sport, yeah, those guys can surround themselves and put themselves in a bubble, and they're super healthy human beings at this time in their life. They're conditioned unlike a lot of other people. But I think if the rest of society doesn't kind of help protect themselves and the person next to them, I don't know if it can work.
Yeah, I think that that's the easiest thing to do. You know, put on a mask. It's not that hard. And some politicians and some people have put it in the terms, if you want sports, you know, wear a mask. And I don't know if that will be enough. And I don't know if you want to always look at things that way. But if that's what it takes to get people to mask up, then I think that it will be something that, you know, people have to take heed of. And if Russell Westbrook could get somebody to put on a mask, then more power to him. Because, Tom, it's just you look around, and I guess Disney now, one of our texters is pointing out, Disney is now requiring masks. So it's still, when you look at Florida and you look at Orlando, and you look at everything going on down there, the NBA has to be holding its breath and going day to day and week to week, because it would seem that the resumption of play, even though it seems like it's getting closer, still a long way off to make sure that this is going to go off without a hitch.
Well, you know, social isolation is going to be part of self-discipline as much as it is for everybody and the athletes and everybody else just putting on a mask. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of trials throughout this period, because as much as you try to encourage guys to be disciplined during the season, sometimes they don't follow the rules and, you know, they go out and they kind of freelance. That could create harm.
You know, Russell Westbrook says he's coming back, so he will be presumably part of the tournament. And Major League Baseball has, I think, 13 players have opted out. 12 of those 13 have not been necessarily for pre-existing conditions. It's just because they have chosen not to take the risk. They don't believe the reward is worth it. There might be other players in other leagues that do test positive. How do you feel about the reality, Tom, that it does depend on who it is? Because if Russell Westbrook were not able to play in the postseason or in the season for the Rockets, or if it's LeBron James or Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard or a superstar, it's going to be viewed a lot differently, certainly, and it's going to be treated differently than it would be if it were a role player. I would imagine that's the case. I don't know if that is the reality, because I guess conceivably you could have, you know, a Bucks, Lakers NBA final without, you know, without LeBron playing and having backups and guys whose names you don't recognize. But I think that it would be treated differently. Should it be treated differently?
Well, you know, safety is the first priority. But if someone's not there because they had contact with the virus and they're trying to protect everybody, and that person's not on the court, not on the floor, I'm okay with it. You know, was it last year when LeBron James, he had a groin issue in the middle of the season, and he missed a significant amount of time during that season. They still played. They still dribbled the basketball. The Lakers didn't shut the lights off and say, hey, let's wait for LeBron to return. That's the whole mantra about the next man up mentality that you have to have. And I know it's callous to say, but we're talking about sports. And that's the coach. That's why they have assistant coaches. That's why you're developing second and third tier guys. And every one of those guys that are waiting in the wings for their opportunity, they should be frothing at the mouth with hunger for their opportunity if an unfortunate scenario presents itself with somebody missing time because of the virus.
He's Tom Thayer. He's in for Mike Mulligan today. And, Tom, we have good news. We've broken through the bubble. We have reached Mark Medina from USA Today. We will go down to Orlando next and talk NBA. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's okay. New York strip steak? Ooh! Braised beef short ribs? Damn! What else we got? Shrimp and grits? Oh, with me. I with that cheesecake, though. They got that creme brulee.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Tom Thayer in for Mike Mulligan today. That was J.R. Smith, the Laker, who was reviewing the menu at the inside the NBA bubble down in Orlando. And this hour on the Molly Hall Show is brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers. Let's go down to the NBA bubble. Inside it, Mark Medina from USA Today covers the NBA. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Oh, man, it's been quite a whirlwind down here. It's been a lot of long days, and you think, okay, that means you're running around. Now you're just cooped up in your room on Zoom calls all day and on the phone. But you know what? I'll take it. It sure beats the last few months when I didn't even have a chance to travel.
After hearing J.R. Smith, I'm tempted to ask you what you had for breakfast and how did you enjoy it?
Yeah, well, I've been quarantined right now for the first week. So what they're doing is they're dropping meals off outside my door, you know, at 8 a.m., noon, 6. So, you know, it's all boxed up. You know, there's a few hard-boiled eggs. There's like a breakfast burrito. There's a few fruit cups. And I think the reality of this is that, you know, when you have things like that, there's things that you like, things you don't like, but it really doesn't matter, right? Like, we have to deal with inconveniences because of the pandemic, and, you know, I'm just trying to relish more on the victories than, hey, wondering, hey, why isn't this the meal that I wanted, right? So it's all good.
Hey, Mark, if we look at the start of the season, before the start of the season here, and those of us that, you know, we think of a guy like Nick Nurse that gives you a real chance to win as a head coach, are there any coaches out there of these star teams that can do the most to hold you back?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think someone like Nick Nurse can help, you know, bridge the gap with the fact that, hey, they lost Kawhi Leonard and they've been able to still lean on the rest of their championship roster led by Kyle Lowry. But I think when it comes to this whole situation, it's really going to be more about how many healthy bodies that they have. It's interesting you brought up the coaching because, you know, the travel party list where teams can only bring 34 people, teams have made the calculation that they want to load up on medical personnel and load up on players because of the likelihood that there's going to be injuries and positive COVID tests. So the casualty has been some of the assistant coaches have had to do their role via Zoom and just from afar. And so I think the only element where coaching will play a factor, I think, is like how they manage training camp and or this de facto training camp and, you know, making sure they don't run them into the ground. But I think a lot of these coaches have that foresight because of the unique circumstances. But I think at the end of the day, the bigger factors in play are going to be, you know, every team's collective health and then which teams still have their star players on the court.
We're talking with Mark Medina, who covers the NBA for USA Today here on the Mully and Haw Show. Tom Thayer in for Mully. And Mark, you're down in Orlando. You're inside the bubble. And it was reported yesterday, I believe, that only two NBA players tested positive for COVID-19 out of 322 tests. And that's a terrific percentage. And I just wondered how would you characterize where people are in terms of anticipating this and confidence and anxiety? Because when you see a good results like that and numbers that reflect, you know, I guess some optimism, is that appropriate to have optimism that they can actually pull this thing off?
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone's being cautiously optimistic. I mean, I wrote a column, you know, last night looking at, you know, are these, you know, just speed bumps and growing pains, or are these red flags? Because I think on one hand, you can make the case it is growing pains. It's just a low number. When you have an injury like Rajon Rondo, he has time to come back. You know, you have two players that broke quarantine because they wound up stepping out to get food delivery. So maybe those are signs that, hey, the system works and they're going to be able to keep reducing the numbers. But then you just wonder, on the other hand, is this going to be a pattern for when the season starts too? And right now, you know, the NBA, I think to its credit, calculated the schedule and structure in a way that they knew that things like this would happen. And so that's why they wanted to give teams enough adequate practice time and scrimmages and games before the playoffs started, because they anticipated there would be injuries. They also wanted to stagger the testing for, you know, 2 weeks before they're going to Orlando, so positive cases could happen before they fly out there. And then, you know, if there are more positive cases once they land, there's still enough time for them to be a part of the season. But there is going to be a point of no return where, you know, once the season starts and you're having injuries and you're having positive cases, I mean, that could be a game changer of wondering, okay, if there's positive cases, is the campus compromised because they haven't contained it? And then if there's injuries, that can change the competitive complexion of the whole NBA landscape. And if you attach that to an NBA superstar, it could wipe that team out of contention from the get-go. So that's that's the dicey thing that the NBA is dealing with here. But I become more and more convinced that the best case scenario is going to happen, because I've gone through the 113-page health and safety protocols. You know, I've talked to health and safety experts about it, and they've given a lot of rave reviews. So, you know, the hunch that I'm going with is there's going to be a lot of inconveniences. There's going to be a lot of challenges that teams want to go through, but I don't think it's going to get to the point where it's going to put any person's life in danger, and it's not going to get to a point where there's so many debilitating moving parts that, you know, it's going to be some sort of asterisk season. I think that there'll be challenges, but the competitive landscape will be relatively even throughout.
Well, Mark, with a guy like Zion, is this a restart to his career, or is he going to be asked to be a higher percentage of the Pelicans team going forward here?
You know, I think there's an unknown with everyone, because, you know, you stopped in March and then you're suddenly 4 months later trying to pick everything back up. But I think in the Pelicans' case, I'm going more with they have a chance to really just resume where they left off, because, one, you know, I've seen Zion on a Zoom call. I've seen the footage. I've heard the accounts from all the coaches and his teammates and himself. He is in really good shape. He's done a good job of staying disciplined with his quarantine regimen. And he was saying that he and his stepdad, you know, worked out daily and played basketball against each other. And, you know, unlike in other circumstances where if you're a team and you have roster changes entering the following season, here it's just a halt of the same personnel. And so I think what you saw with the Pelicans was pretty simple. Once Zion came back from his injury, they were one of the best teams in the NBA. When you complement his unique skill set with a very promising young core in Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, and some good veterans like J.J. Redick and Drew Holiday, I think they have, you know, they had the best shot at making it into the playoffs as an eighth seed. Now, the reality is they would be playing the Lakers, presumably, in the first round. And, you know, barring something catastrophic happening to LeBron James or Anthony Davis, I don't think that the Lakers have a problem facing them. But I think it would still be a really significant step for the Pelicans long term, just given, you know, they're less than a year removed from the reality that, you know, Anthony Davis wanted out, and they're trying to figure out where to go from there.
Mark, now, I love the newspaper business as much as the next guy. You know, I spent 17 years at the Chicago Tribune, and so I respect what you're doing and why you're doing it. At the same time, you're quarantined for, what, 7 days, and you're down there in an environment that I think that by definition is not necessarily 100% safe. And we understand those realities and the ramifications of covering an event as part of your job. How are you feeling about that part of your job, and how do you plan to spend the quarantine period kind of isolated from everybody else?
It's a fair question. I mean, first, you know, USA Today, great place to work for. They didn't give me any pressure whatsoever as far as whether I wanted to go or not. You know, the reality is I'm blessed in this position that I didn't have any sort of family obligations to consider, because if that was a factor, I wouldn't have gone. But I feel good. Thankfully, I've been healthy for the last few years. During this pandemic, I haven't had any issues whatsoever. You know, I'm based in LA, so they were starting to give free tests to everyone. So I took one in May, just because why not? It doesn't hurt, and tested negative. You know, I got the most important thing is once I got here, we started getting tested, and my first result that I got yesterday was negative. And now it's about making sure that each test after this is negative, and then assuming that happens the rest of the week, I'll be out of quarantine. And look, you know, the point you made is how different it is. Without a doubt, I don't want to be cooped up in my room, but I think there's a few elements here in play. One, it's only a week, and I'm extremely busy with getting on Zoom calls, doing phone interviews, doing radio appearances,
you know, I'm not at a lack of shortage of things to do, right? It's not like I'm wondering what to do with my free time. But after that, once I'm out of quarantine, I'm going to be able to go to practices, go to the empty arenas, once the games start, go to scrimmages. I mean, there's still going to be a lot of restrictions. You know, it's not like I can go to the other team hotels and do interviews or catch up with sources. But if nothing else, I'm at least the eyes and ears for trying to tell some stories down here with what's happening, because it's very unprecedented.
Hey, Mark, are you able to pinpoint a player in terms of health that is benefiting or catching up the most during this pandemic layoff?
Yeah, I think there's a few of them. You know, Zion Williamson is one of them. You know, we touched on him. You know, Kawhi Leonard was on a Zoom call yesterday, and he said that he's completely healthy. And you know, this season he was missing a significant chunk of time because of this load management on his left knee, and he said he's completely fine. Doc Rivers said that there's certainly not going to be load management during this restart season. Now, not just with Kawhi, but with every player, I don't expect guys to be playing 40 minutes a night during the eight seeding games, but that has more to do with just they haven't played in 4 months. They're trying to get the timing and conditioning down. But once the playoffs start, I think everything's going to be, you know, normal from the sense of what their roles will be and how many minutes. The obvious difference will be just there's not going to be any fans in the stands. But I think Kawhi's benefited a lot. Anthony Davis from the Lakers, you know, he didn't have as many significant injuries, but he had a handful of knickknacks with his shoulder, his back. He said he's fully healed. Same thing with Paul George, you know, with the Clippers. He missed the first 11 games because he had off-season surgery on both of his shoulders, and he said that's felt really good. So I think what's going to be really interesting is you're going to have kind of a contradictory set of circumstances here where guys might feel refreshed and they might feel healthy and they don't have the ailments that may have been bothering them during the season, but they're also going to be out of shape and they're going to be rusty. And so it's going to be an interesting challenge with how training staffs and coaching staffs manage them and making sure that, you know, they're not going to, you know, run them into the ground too early.
Mark, I have a ton of respect for what you're doing down there, why you're doing it. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys, and much respect back at you. Be well.
Good stuff. Mark Medina from USA Today covering the NBA down in Orlando, inside the bubble, quarantined for a week, and lucky enough that he was able to join us. How long before the Washington NFL team has a new nickname? We will ask Mike Florio next. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, buddy! Hey, buddy! We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get
BB!
We get
BB! Bro, BB! NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Tom Thayer in today for Mike Mulligan, and we are always pleased to join Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. And Mike joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Mike.
What's going on, guys? How are you today?
Doing well, doing well. Big story out of Washington. Obviously, the Washington NFL team makes the announcement yesterday. Right time, right thing for the wrong reasons, perhaps, Mike. Daniel Snyder getting criticized a little bit because of the corporate pressure that he buckled to, but I think it was a long time coming. What did you think about the way it went down, and when will they get a new nickname?
Well, I was stunned by the fact that the outgoing name and the outgoing logo were plastered all over the press release that was sent out, and ultimately by the announcement that the old name stays until the new name is chosen, which I don't think people in the league office were anticipating. That, to me, felt like the last little middle finger from Daniel Snyder, by saying this name will be retired, but it remains in place until we have the next name. Why not just get rid of the old name and have no, you don't need a name. You're not doing anything. You don't have practice. You don't have games. And if everybody knows the name is going to be gone, why do you continue to be referred to by that name? But I think what it does as a practical matter, it just increases the pressure for them to get all their ducks in a row, I's dotted, T's crossed, trademark rights properly secured so they can announce their new name. And I think it means at the latest when training camp opens, at the earliest by the end of this week.
Hey, Mike, this 10-year deal for Patrick Mahomes, it's the first time I've seen in the NFL. I don't know if you ever have before. Has there ever been a player in history that you would give a 10-year deal to, and how do you feel about it?
Well, there's plenty of players you'd give a 10-year deal to. There aren't many players, especially in this day and age, who should take a 10-year deal when you consider that Patrick Mahomes still had 2 years left on his rookie contract. So now he's committed for 12 seasons. And yes, he's got injury guarantees. And yes, there's a device that makes it harder for the Chiefs to cut him. But with the salary cap, once we get on the other side of the pandemic, likely to go up dramatically when we get new TV money and, more importantly, money from the coming proliferation of legalized sports betting, the market's going to keep going up. There's going to be a chance that by the time we get to the middle to latter part of this decade, Patrick Mahomes is going to look at that contract, look at other quarterbacks' contracts, and say, what the hell did I do? And the cash flow, you know, I was always told this about contracts. Three key factors: signing bonus, fully guaranteed money at signing, and cash flow over the first 3 years. And on those three metrics, Mahomes' deal is horrible in comparison to other contracts. And he's still committed for 9 years after the first three. Now, again, he's got the protection, and they came up with a device that makes it hard for the Chiefs to get rid of him. Not that they're going to want to get rid of him anyway, but I think that quarterbacks and all great players in this day and age should be pushing for shorter commitments, not longer commitments, because you want to get back to the table after circumstances have changed, after the cap has gone up, after the market has gone up, so you're never in a situation where you feel like you're not being fairly paid.
Mike, I find it almost inconceivable that the Chiefs and Texans rookies are scheduled to report to training camp on Saturday. This before there really aren't any protocols in place except for the understanding that they should be tested 48 hours in advance. But is this, A, going to happen, and B, what is the biggest obstacle between now and July 28th for teams to clear so they can have training camp begin as they want, according to the schedule?
Well, here's what's going on. The NFL and the NFLPA are trying to work out the lingering issues on which they disagree. Testing procedures. The union wants players to be tested every day with a 24-hour turnaround. The league wants something less extensive than that. Issues with opt-outs. Who will be able to say, I choose not to play this year with no financial penalty beyond giving up salary? Other economic issues. What happens with the losses that are inflicted this year by the pandemic? Does it affect the salary cap next year? Do they smooth it out from 2022 through 2030? How many preseason games will there be? The players continue to say, we want none. But here's the thing to remember. This isn't like a normal CBA, where you bargain to impasse and then somebody either initiates a work stoppage, whether it's a lockout or a strike. If they can't reach an agreement, the NFL implements its rules for the pandemic, and then the practical and realistic relief for the union will be to file a grievance challenging whether or not they're being given a safe workplace. There's not going to be a wildcat strike. That's not going to happen, because if they try to do that, the NFL is going to pull the plug on the entire CBA, because they'd love to get out from under this CBA that the players just ratified back in March after the pandemic hit. So they're going to have rules by the end of the week. There's either going to be an agreement between the league and the union on what the rules are, or the NFL is going to unilaterally implement whatever things they can't agree on. But there will be rules in place by the end of the week, and they are continuing to talk, and they understand what the deadlines are. And I think by Saturday, unless the NFL decides at the urging of the union to press pause, the NFL is going to be ready to say, these are the rules, and everybody, let's go. It's time to get to work.
Hey, Mike, who's going to have to change the most, Cam or Belichick?
Well, I think it's more Cam or Josh McDaniels. I think Bill Belichick is going to delegate a lot of the offensive approach to Josh McDaniels. I had one coach express to me that the relationship between Newton and McDaniels will be critical to whether or not this works. And there's concern that maybe McDaniels and Newton won't get along the way that they need to. But look, let's see what happens. And we've seen plenty of yelling and screaming from Tom Brady at Josh McDaniels over the years, and it didn't exactly keep them from having a lot of success together. The key is this. When McDaniels drafted Tim Tebow in 2010 in Denver, McDaniels developed an offense that would be used by Tim Tebow. And eventually, that offense was used by Tebow after McDaniels had been fired. That offense, the belief is going to be the offense that Josh McDaniels implements for Cam Newton. And when you have a guy who is more skilled across the board than Tim Tebow, and the offense was designed to provide the kind of blocking that keeps the quarterback out of harm's way, which is a very important element for Cam Newton given all of his injuries, I think this has the potential to be exceptionally great for the Patriots. I think they'll thrive amid the chaos of the 2020 season. And if Cam Newton is healthy, it's going to be the best up to $7.5 million that anyone has ever spent.
Breaking news here on The Score is brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series on radio.com. And that breaking news this morning, Mike, Adam Schefter reporting the Eagles are re-signing nine-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman Jason Peters, 38-year-old Jason Peters, to a one-year deal, not to play tackle, but to play guard because they lost Pro Bowl right guard Brandon Brooks to a season-ending torn Achilles injury, and now we'll try to get 38-year-old Jason Peters to move inside and to play guard. What's your reaction to that move?
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense for both sides. Obviously, the Eagles have the need, but more importantly for Peters and any other free agent who continues to be unsigned, but who has an extensive history with one team, with all the other stuff that is going to be different this year, I think that finding a way to stay with a team that you're familiar with makes the changes less jarring and less difficult and less distracting than they would be if Jason Peters had decided, I'm going to uproot my life and sign with the Texans and go into one of the coronavirus hotspots right now. I just think that given where everything currently is, these guys who have been waiting and waiting and waiting, I think are best served to find a way to stay with the team they played with last year, do a one-year deal, and then figure out what you're going to do next year when hopefully all of this other craziness has subsided.
Hey, Mike, when you look at the two high-profile free agent quarterbacks in Brady and Rivers, which one of these guys signed with the best supporting cast to give themselves a chance to win?
Well, look, you can't go wrong with a great offensive line, and the Indianapolis Colts have put together one of the best offensive lines in football, anchored by Quentin Nelson, who completely changed the vibe and the attitude and the dynamic there. So I think Phillip Rivers gets that edge. And actually, you know, I heard back at the time there was some interest by Tom Brady in the Colts. But I think the Colts had the old once bitten, twice shy thing when dealing with trying to lure someone away from the Patriots. And there was a fear that if the Colts showed interest in Brady, that would have caused the Patriots to step up and do everything they could to keep Brady from leaving. So the Colts didn't want to go down that Josh McDaniels rabbit hole again. But I just think that Brady is the better quarterback, and that's going to elevate the supporting cast. And I think Brady, when you look at what he's done in Tampa, not that I agree with him continuing the workouts even after the NFLPA said don't do any of this stuff until training camp opens, he's going to be the kind of leader that inspires these guys to do everything they need to do. He's going to hold them accountable. He's got great receivers to throw the football to. As long as his blockers will do enough to buy him time to get rid of the football, I think Brady's in a position to be exceptional this year. And hopefully there will be a Super Bowl, and hopefully that Super Bowl will be the Buccaneers and the Patriots.
Mike, you know how provincial we can be here in Chicago, but I want to get your perspective on this. The other day, Allen Robinson responded to LaDainian Tomlinson on NFL Network. He referred to Allen Robinson as being inconsistent, or he said something about needing to be more consistent, and he labeled the Bears wide receivers the weakest part of their team, and that's not necessarily up for debate. But I don't understand why Allen Robinson doesn't have more respect nationally outside of Chicago, because inside Chicago, as Tom will tell you, I mean, this is a guy that shows up for work. He's always accountable, and he's pretty reliable the last 2 years. His biggest flaw is that he hasn't played for very consistent quarterbacks. What is What is the reason, do you think, outside of Chicago, he doesn't get a ton of respect?
Well, look, and there have been plenty of guys who have played for inconsistent quarterbacks who have still had gigantic numbers. Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins come to mind. I think the worst thing that could have happened to Allen Robinson is to have had such a great start to his career. In his second season in Jacksonville, he had 1,400 receiving yards, and it created this expectation that he was going to be among the best two, three, or four receivers in all of football. And then after that, it tailed off, and I think he's been chasing that ever since. Now, he had 1,147 receiving yards last year, which is incredibly good considering the quality of the quarterback play, but I think that's what did it. The kiss of death was that great second season and then the inability to build upon it, and it caused a lot of people, you know, a lot of people who chase the statistics and get caught up in the fantasy football angle, they've kind of written him off as a high-end receiver. Once you get the quarterback situation properly stabilized, he's going to be in a position to really explode.
Hey, Mike, when you look at the Bears quarterback competition, you look at Brady Rivers, you look at Cam Newton, is this one year that the NFL needs one to maybe two preseason games above all others?
Well, the NFL, I think, needs one to two preseason games so that everyone can go through the motions of what it's going to feel like and look like and be like on game day. You don't want these new procedures to be used for the first time in games that count. That's what the NFL is pushing. The Players Association is saying, but wait a minute. We've got guys who weren't able to properly work out all offseason long. You're going to put them in game situations when they should be more slowly getting themselves into game shape. And on top of it, what's the financial upside? Fans aren't going to be there anyway. You don't make much TV money off of these preseason games. Why do you want to do it? But I think the value this year, and beyond the football value, although I don't know how much the starters are going to play in these games if they have them, the real value is, you know, we've seen guys like injured players that we knew weren't going to play anyway, but they're out there in uniform. They went through the whole pregame warm-ups. Just the routine, getting comfortable now when it doesn't count with what it's going to feel like when it does count. I think that's why the NFL keeps pushing this notion of having two preseason games, because I think the NFL is concerned. I think they're concerned that these procedures may not work, or at least work the way they want to. So they want to go through a dry run, a dress rehearsal a couple of times, so tweaks can be made if needed to make sure everything's right for when the regular season begins. Hopefully it will.
Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you next week. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and ProFootballTalk.com. Good stuff. I'd like to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And most of all, thank you for listening. Thank you to our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes.
I was just responding to Trubisky.
Also to Kevin Zipak.
It's sequential for us.
Most of all, thank you to the glue, the operation, Ray Diaz.
You have nobody guarding your potatoes.
Tom, it's been a lot of fun talking all sorts of things, the whole gamut. We will do this again tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it. Thank you for having me, David.
Yep. Tom Thayer was in for Mully today. We had a lot of fun. We'll have more tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. We will talk to you then. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
If it is to be said, so it is.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.